CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, Monday, you made it. Congratulations. I had such a nice, relaxed weekend. None of the stress, none of the, you know, like some weekends can be very stressful. Like you've got a lot to do and a lot of people you got to see and that kind of thing. I had a birthday party on Saturday night, but it was so chilled. It was just really nice. A lot of people I knew didn't feel like work, you know. Some parties can feel like work. Do you know what I mean, or am I talking shit? You know, when you go to a party and you feel like... When you have to make small talk with people and you feel like you're in a position where you need to work the room. You know what I'm talking about? Like those kinds of parties feel like work. And this wasn't like that. It was just fun. Nice people.
Yeah, like when you get home and you think, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that's over. I'm actually exhausted.
Right. And you take off your shoes and you're like, I can't wait to just go to sleep. But it wasn't like that. It was
that
fun.
That isn't work to me. That's work with an E. You're working the room.
How was your weekend? What did you guys get up to? What did you do, Leanne Moll?
Oh, my word. I started my tax filing.
Oh, well, so, you know, here I was.
It had to have been the most boring.
Yeah, in vain hope that you were going to tell me something really exciting. You tell me you were doing your taxes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know.
What kind of person does their taxes in October, though? What's that all about?
No, it's the filing process so that we can start capturing. I'm using all the terminology that my accountants use. We have to start capturing the data.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's basically putting together an actual lever arch file of papers, you know?
Well, Sia, anything interesting, anything better than tax on your side?
Yeah, geez, it wasn't really hugely eventful, but much better than that. I went to Soweto over the weekend for the weirdest reason, actually. I woke up on Saturday and I thought, well, it was Saturday mid-morning / afternoon. I'm craving like a koda, like a big,
I got you.
Greasy, might get cholesterol as soon as I'm done eating this koda.
Sure.
But I'm like, that is what I need. And since it was a weekend and I didn't have anything to do, I was like, screw it. Actually, I can drive to Soweto to get it. So it always becomes a bit of an experience. And I realized I also, bar driving back from Durban in June, I haven't been on a highway since then. So I was like, oh, look at what is happening.
Yeah.
There are four lanes here. There are people running about.
There's a lot of traffic, There's actually, the roads are busy. You could see people are really
moving.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about this lockdown anymore. I really don't understand why they're even bothering to put up the pretense of you know, curfews and that kind of shit. Because apparently there was a club that was raided over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, but I love how people have banded together to call our government out.
Oh, yeah. What happened? I didn't know
so
about this.
For context, it's this club in Sandton that was shut down for operating after midnight.
Which club was
Back Door or Black Door, something along those lines.
Okay.
Something to do with a door.
All right.
Here's the tab, wait. It'll annoy me. And I can't find it.
No, typical. That's okay.
I'll find it.
It always happens when you're looking for something, yeah.
So, yeah, and part of the charges that this club has is the fact that they were operating after midnight, they were full beyond capacity, lockdown capacity, and thirdly, the fact that they couldn't identify or rather have a manager own up to, I was on duty, this is what was happening.
There was no one in charge, basically.
Exactly.
Free for all.
I love it.
And I don't think it's called Black Door Lifestyle Lounge in Stanton. And I don't think it's the fact that there wasn't a manager. I think they had an all for one and one for all.
They banded together. They were like, we're not handing a dude over. But what did the people do to band together against government? I mean, what was the story there?
people were saying, hold up, you know, Minister Cele, we'd love for you to be the minister of, you know, police as opposed to the minister of alcohol. What about, you know, we wish you had this energy for gender-based violence. We wish you had the same energy for human trafficking. We wish you had this energy for drugs. You know, there are noted buildings in town or Hillbrow or something that are speculated to be, you know, these human trafficking epicenters. But, you know, you never see police go there.
It's typical because he's going after the lowest hanging fruit.
This is what he does.
He's a lazy son of a bitch. And he likes to posture. He likes to be the big General Cele, you know, and he goes around with his hats on and looks like a mafia warlord. Actually, he's a big pussy. And I think he should stop hitting nightclubs and start worrying about corruption within the police. I mean, just the other day we found out, what, over 100 charges of gender-based violence at just 13 police stations. Go and deal with that, you useless bastard. Worrying about nightclubs, really. Who are you protecting?
And I don't know if you saw the footage of them during this raid, but it, you know, what, in my opinion, again, it just, they feel like they are high and crazy on power. In one of the videos that I saw, there was someone going, yeah, bring us the cash register, the whole thing. Bring it to us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they were referencing a mini bar with alcohol there as well. Yeah. They're like, yeah, and that's one too. It's like,
yeah, you really don't have to. Frankly, in this country, fuck the police is probably the best slogan you can come up with. And I know there are good, I know there are good police people. I know there are. There are good policemen and women in this country who really are trying to do their work. But there are also a bunch, and I would say it's probably 50-50 at this stage. You take your chances. You could be, you know, in a situation where you need the police and you'll end up with one of the good ones and it'll be a great story and hopefully, you know, you'll feel safe and it'll be resolved beautifully and bad people will get in trouble and the good people will be saved from them. But then just as easily you could end up with one of the bad cops and you'd have to bribe your way out or you get locked up or you get abused by the police or even worse than that. So I don't really have a whole lot of faith in this minister. I think he's a big gangster. He's a bully. And I don't have any faith in the police generally. You got to take your chances, right? And I feel like the average South African hasn't got a whole lot going on their side. It makes me a bit sad because we pay for these people. You know, we pay for them to get involved in corrupt activities. And you hear constant stories about with all these drug raids that are going on. You hear all about how the cops are often the ones who take that stuff, that the confiscated alcohol and drugs and firearms and whatever else they find, and then they sell it on the black market. So who do you trust? Jesus, makes me crazy.
Right.
You make me crazy.
Yeah, Jeff Makubo and the MEC was also part of it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Faith Mazibuko, yeah.
Yeah, great. I mean, those are all the people we really want to see on a Saturday night. That's why people go out.
And then do people get arrested? Like if I happen to be at the club and it was after midnight, am I getting arrested?
I think that's probably what they were trying to do. I don't know. But the whole thing is just, it's just outrageous. It's really outrageous. You know what else is outrageous? And I predicted this on Friday. Outsurance are trying to distance themselves from Katlego Maboy, right?
Yeah.
We knew that would happen. Didn't I say corporate South Africa are a bunch of cowardly fucking dogs? Didn't I say that? They'd run away with their tail between their legs and try to create as much space between them and Katlego as they could. Now, didn't that just happen? And I'm glad to see Julius Malema agrees with me. He said, we don't condone what Katlego did. Neither did I. But it's just typical of Outsurance that they now want to pretend he was never with them. He was their guy. And they were paying him a lot of money, but he was also doing all their hard selling. I mean, God, those ads were terrible. Those ads were appalling.
It's not so much the company as it is the public's perception of what the company is doing.
No, so they think by cutting him loose, they're going to suddenly have a great reputation.
Or no, by keeping him on, people are going to say, why do you do this? I'm withdrawing from Archer. And I've seen it happen. I manage brands.
Yeah, but why don't they have a bit of courage?
It's public's force.
And you know what you can sometimes do if you're a powerful brand that spends a fortune on advertising and is trying to convert people all the time? You know what you try to do sometimes? You try to take a principled stand. You say, well, this guy has personal problems like all of us have. And we're going to stand by our man. He's been selling our stuff for how long? They dump him because they think they're lily white and clean. Well, I mean, they're in insurance. Probably one of the worst businesses you can be in. Nobody likes insurance. It's just what they're effectively doing is they're saying he's guilty until proven innocent, so we can get rid of him now.
Well, same thing with Espresso, because they released a statement on Friday to say that they are Katlego will not be on the show up until they have finished, they've completed their internal investigation. Oh,
what are we going to do without Espresso with you know, how are we going to manage? How are we going to make it through our day? Oh, just hang on, everybody. I really need moral guidance. Ooh, I think I'm going to turn to Outsurance and Espresso to find out what the right thing is to do. I'm so confused as to whether or not I should believe X or believe Y. Oh, you know what? I've just remembered. Uh-huh. I get my best ethical ideas and the most reasonable possible stance from Outsurance and Espresso, two brands no one has ever given a shit about. How about that?
Gareth, how do you make a new Eggs Benedict with some great, you know...
Yeah, I have to watch that fucking stupid show. Let me tell you something. I mean, I mocked that show endlessly and remorselessly, and I've had Katlego in the studio, and we joked about it. But, you know, for what they wanted him to do, he did it. The guy pitched up there.
Well,
he was professional as all hell. He's a polished human being. He knows how to present. I think they're going to struggle to find anyone as good as that. And you know what? Good luck to you. Your show is so boring anyway. I mean, who cares whether you're on air or not? I care more about this Katlego story than I do about anything that's ever been on Espresso.
What's vague about their statement with the internal investigation thing is, does it mean they're going to be doing it themselves or they're going to follow legal proceedings, which means, you know, those can take months at a time.
So in the meantime, what, the guys,
or
the guy's unemployed? Like so he's unemployed because something went on in his personal life. And suddenly now, because we're living in 2020, everybody's personal life is also everybody's business. And because his ex, who's got an axe to grind, decided to post a video about something that was private. It was really private. It doesn't affect his television career. It doesn't affect his ambassadorship for Outsurance. It doesn't affect the way that you and I and everybody else should feel about him because, frankly, it's none of our business. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, and then, by the way, the ex did an interview over the weekend.
What'd she have to say for herself?
That was very quick, quickly done.
What did she have to say for herself?
I didn't even have the stomach to watch it, because now I feel like I'm being played.
I'm not surprised. I mean, we predicted this on Friday already, so it's all happened exactly according to what our spineless television shows and corporations in this country would do. And you know what? I've seen this time and time again. And the reason I sound like I'm taking this personally, because I don't stand up for what Katlego did, if he cheated on her, STDs, all that shit that we shouldn't know about because it's private. But the reason I take this personally is because I remember when I had my court case against Mnet. They tried to get me off of that show, and I had to take them to court, and I had to force them to honor their contract. Because they were going to fire me for something that was made up. It was nonsense. It was all about this same public perception that you talk about, Leanne.
Yeah.
And I had to fight them, and it cost me a fortune, even though I won. And the fact is, and thank you to Dalim Pofu for forcing me to do it, because I would have just walked away like it looks like Katlego's doing. And that's not the way to, you've got to deal with these bullies on their own territory. As much as he might have done wrong, they're doing wrong now by him. And I think that they need to back down. They need to honor their contracts. You can't just take the good when a celebrity like Katlego is out there doing good work for you. And you have the perfect brand ambassador that you've always wanted. And then as soon as something happens in his life that is beyond your control, then suddenly you want to get rid of him as quickly as possible and pretend he never happened. They're going to take off all the ads in case someone's offended. I mean, who are they? Who are these people who are dictating on social media who we should and shouldn't be offended by? I'm offended by your crap ads more than I am by Katlego's behavior.
I wonder if he did pursue some sort of legal action, would he have the grounds to win, and using what reasoning?
I think it all boils down to money.
and it's like
how far do you want to take this? You never know how far it's going to go.
Yeah, and these days they have these contracts with, you know, if you do anything that the company that you're working with doesn't like, they just dump you. And that's probably what's happened. So contractually, he probably doesn't have a leg to stand on. But I still think that that this reflects very badly on OutSurance, and it reflects very badly on Expresso. There is such a thing as loyalty, and I think that this guy has done a lot of good work in his career. And what happened in his personal life, which should really have remained personal and private, thanks to the ex-girlfriend, is now public. It's not his fault. Sure, what he did to her is his fault, but that's private. I don't understand how people can't differentiate. And these days, it's not good enough that someone says, well, you know, Katlego, he's got, you know, dubious morality here. But you can't separate his work from – please. I mean, we're all listening to Michael Jackson music, and it's 2020, and we know what he did to all those little boys.
Ooh.
Can we stop with this this made up morale, like everybody's pure as the driven snow?
Yeah.
Right.
When are we going to grow up and realize, and Leanne, you were joking on Friday, and you said, you know, all the stuff you've ever done in your life you've spoken about on the show, so you've got nothing to hide. But people are entitled to a private life. And I feel like this guy is being hung out to dry. And I think it's really unfair because I don't think he's a horrible person.
Yeah.
I really don't. And now everybody's carrying on. Everyone's carrying on like they are superior to him in some way.
Yeah. Let's look at their lives.
Yeah, precisely.
What's going on in their lives?
Let's go and check out the life of the CEO of Expresso or OutSurance, see what they're up to. How about that?
Well, the shitty and very simple equation that Expresso and OutSurance are probably working on is the fact that Katlego, A, is instantly, oh, the Expresso guy or the OutSurance guy. And so
they made him like that. They did that. That's not him. They gave him the job. He didn't come to them and go, I'm going to be your guy.
And the OutSurance guy. And you don't want to be in that.
Yeah, I understand, but it's just cowardly and it's just pathetic. Good luck to them. I hope they do well. I hope Expresso finally gets some ratings. I hope OutSurance eventually make a good ad. How about that? That's what I wish for them. That's how I hope. That's what my Christmas wish, because it's only, what, 2 months to Christmas? My Christmas wish to them.
It's going to be Christmas even today, this year. It's not the same.
Anyway.
Hey, talking about Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How's this for a Christmas list, wish list?
Oh, yeah?
From a 10-year-old.
Yes.
It's gone viral because, firstly, it's quite cute. She's made a lot of, like, spelling errors, and it's just one of those cute things, you know, that kids do.
Mm-hmm.
But what's on the list is just mind-boggling. So, I mean, usually kids will ask for one of the new toys or whatever. This little girl is asking for gadgets, handbags, a live bunny, and thousands of pounds in cash.
Leanne, just do me a favor quickly while you're talking to us. Just turn your mic up a little bit. You've got one of those buttons in front of you.
Yeah, is that better?
That's much better, thank you.
Okay, so here's her list. And it was one of her exasperated parents who actually posted it and said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. What do I do?
Yeah.
So she would like an iPhone 11, AirPods, a new MacBook Air, a real bunny, hydro flask, clothes, makeup, pink pumas, Gucci sliders, perfume, essential oil, American Girl doll car, new shoes, earrings or jewelry, checkered Vans, GoPro, pink duct tape.
How long is this list?
Well,
it's nearly done.
She's food, coloring, and laundry detergent. She's 10 years old. 10.
11. Oh. Clothes for the bunny.
Mm-hmm.
$4,000. A LOL doll camper, LOL doll big sister, LOL doll shallow. New sheets and cover, and an alarm clock.
I'll tell you what, she's going to be a hell of a wife one day, making lists like that. There's some rich guy somewhere in the world who doesn't know it yet. Well, some kid who's going to be rich one day who doesn't know that he's going to end up with the most incredibly bossy wife in the history of humanity. If she's making lists like this at 10, 11 years old, God bless whoever she ends up with.
That just shows that she's watching YouTube and TikTok stars to find out about all these things.
Definitely.
Someone comments and says, get her the alarm clock. Tell her it'll wake her up from her dream where she thinks she's getting everything on there.
Well, listen, you've got to admire the chutzpah, right, of this little girl.
Oh, I mean, she's very brave.
If she only gets like 3 out of her whole list, she's done very well. She's done better than most kids. They're like, whatever you feel is right, Santa. That's very good.
And it's also crazy that at 11 years old, you know so much. At 11 years old, what do you want for Christmas?
Don't know anything.
It's just like a new pack of crayons.
Right.
See, I think times have changed, hey?
So I just want to...
One person decided and said $4,000 is now going on my list too.
Oh, wow.
But it was quite interesting how she made it $4,000, which is like so specific.
Mm. Mm. She wants the cash, right? She wants the cash money. Yeah. No good for
and
her.
And then someone said, this year she finds out that Santa isn't real.
I
got this email from Woman of Color. She says, the Katlego story reminded me of a friend's father's story. We were in our 30s when this friend's mom called him to tell him his dad in his late 60s had been admitted to hospital after he suffered a heart failure. By the way, it's not a heart attack. The heart never attacked anyone. The friend bought a plane ticket immediately to visit the dad in South Africa, but could only fly out after 3 days. On day 2 of the hospital stay, the mom called the friend to tell him that she had been called by a woman who was his dad's other wife. The side chick told the mom, and she told the mom that the dad had given him her number. The dad had given... this is written very badly, Woman of Color. The dad had given her number to call. Okay, yeah. So the side chick called because the dad had given the number to her. If a day ever went by without a call from him. The dad was a retired long-distance truck driver. It turns out this Casanova had a whole other family. A wife with 2 kids exactly the same age as his main chick's kids. Whenever he was away for work... That's where he was for 30 years. 30 years this guy kept a secret. Unfortunately for the dad, he survived and had to explain himself to his family. Like a good Christian family, unlike Katlego's ex, they handled it with dignity. The possibility to... I mean, that's just insane. What a story, right? What a story.
What? It's just sloppy.
There are people, just keep your shit together, please. Just, try to behave yourself. It's just unbelievable.
If you have one job, it's just to keep your shit together.
Is that too much to ask for?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Listen to Janet. She says, this whole cat thing reminded me of the time my poor brother-in-law woke up to his then-girlfriend smashing stuff around the house and not speaking to him. This continued for 5 days. He would ask her what's wrong, and then she would scream and swear at him. By day 5, he couldn't take it anymore, and he demanded that she tell him what the hell had happened. She then told him that she had a dream that he cheated on her with a redhead. She had a dream, and she was smashing shit up. I pity him the day that he actually does the deed, but I do commend him for being brave enough to go ahead and marry her. So he's married this lunatic.
Oh, wow. Well, she obviously cares.
You go around my house smashing. You listen, If you smash one thing in my house, I'm calling the police or someone in your life and getting them to remove you from my company forever.
Yeah, the fact that it took 5 days for him to ask.
Jesus, I mean, that's ridiculous. This guy's obviously a complete weakling.
You know, what's also interesting from this is some people, I mean, I know that feeling where you wake up and you feel like the dream was so real that it kind of creeps into your reality mind. But it doesn't usually last for 5 days. But that must have been really intense.
Yeah.
But also, it's interesting that some people, probably not in this case, but some people actually believe their dreams. They believe that if they dreamt that, then it must have happened or it's going to happen.
Sounds very tick, tick, tick.
Well, according to what Leanne said just now and Sia about how, you know, I said Christmas is 2 months away and Sia said, oh, I don't even know if it's going to count as Christmas. Well, lockdown is probably, according to Nick, going to be extended until the end of the year because of the second wave, in inverted commas, testing more people. Yeah.
Did you not hear Sihle Zikalala over the weekend sounding like a parent threatening us as children?
Oh, yeah. He's the premier of KZN, right?
Yeah, so he says that the government could implement lockdown during the festive season if reckless behavior continues.
How about fuck you? How about fuck you and we're not going to listen to you, you useless sack of shit, you politician. How about the politicians that we've listened to from March this year have all been wrong? All of them. How about you keep quiet and you remind yourself of how badly you got this wrong? And how many people's jobs you have cost, and how many lives you've ruined, how many people have committed suicide because of your lockdown. How about you remind yourself of that before you congratulate yourself for saving no lives, because you can't prove you saved a single one. You cannot prove you saved one life.
How about fucking
Sihle Zikalala, really? I mean, take that idea and shove it right up your ass.
Yeah, this is what he slams people for.
Yeah.
He says a lot of people have carefree attitude, some not even bothering to wear masks, and some are attending large gatherings.
Yeah.
And he also warned alcohol sellers to toe the line and obey the law.
Let's just remember this is the guy who broke his own lockdown rules. Do you remember? Because I can remember. I'm old enough to remember that back in April and May, this guy was out holding campaign rallies for the ANC and fundraisers. Let's just remember who the hell this guy is. I love it when these politicians think we're all as stupid as they are and we don't have the memory of goldfish. Sihle Zikalala was out there. In fact, he was the first politician to get into trouble. I think before Stella Ndabeni Abrams. He was already in trouble then. Stupid Sihle Zikalala. Please, shut your face.
So then he concludes by saying that some alcohol outlets are breaking the rules by trading during weekends. Yeah. And then he says
he and Becky Taylor
will be deployed to make sure the rules are adhered to.
Why don't he and Becky Taylor try and go into the townships and shut down the Shabins? Why don't they try? I bet you it'll work really well for them. Let's see how the community in the township responds. Going after a nightclub in Sandton and mouthing off about alcohol. Who do you guys think you are? The prohibition police from the 1920s? Shut up. All right, it is time to get into
low-hanging fruit again.
Low-hanging fruit. Mm. Go for the places where it doesn't take you much effort to actually get done what you promised to get done, to have gotten done.
And I'm interested to see how all of this lockdown would have been handled if it was closer to national elections, for example.
Correct.
It would have been completely different.
Correct. You watch. Watch what does happen around national elections. You see how quickly the ANC changed their tune and try to find someone else to blame for the lockdowns. Anyway, there are other stories in the news. Two children, this is so sad, and this happens whenever there's rain. 10 children were swimming in the stream in Cliptown. And, of course, on Sunday there was rain. And when there's rain, then what happens is that the water comes down in a huge torrent. And, you know, these rivers overflow and they flood. And they struggled inside the water, so the group scattered, and two of the children drowned in the river as a result of this. So, you know, we've got to look after our kids, and we've got to train people from an early age to be a little more careful around water. You know, where were the parents? Before we start wailing and gnashing our teeth, where were the parents?
These natural bodies of water, especially rivers and sort of muddy waters where you can't see the bottom, are so dangerous. Mm. I remember growing up, my boyfriend at the time, when I was about 14, they used to jump off of this ravine, or into a ravine rather, off of a cliff.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize is the waterfall, the force of the water erodes the bottom of where the water's hitting.
Correct.
And causes like a suction or a vortex. And he was jumping off there with friends, and the one guy just didn't come up. And shucks. It actually turned out that he had become wedged underneath a car that had been in under the water.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I just, and you don't have any fear at that age. If you think about the age of these kids, there's no fear. There's no ration.
Yeah. I think we've just got to all watch out, especially because the holidays are coming up and people go to places where there is water. I mean, we heard just 2 weeks ago about those Vaal boating accidents.
Yeah.
Now we read about two kids drowning in the river. You know, these things are going to happen. They're accidents that can't be prevented. But in this case, where are the parents? Kids swimming in a river on their own, unsupervised. You know, the first place you've got to point fingers is the parents, who are probably grief-stricken at the moment. So the last thing you want to do is lump them with that problem. But unfortunately, they are responsible. Who else is going to look after your kids in the river? Thousands of Joburg residents have been without water for about a week after a major disruption.
I'm one of them.
Are you? You haven't had water?
So we do have a trickle of water. It's enough to brush your teeth or fill the loo over time. Like a big dog's bowl of water will take a while to fill. And then we have these trickle showers, or, you know, we go to someone else's house for a treat.
Are you very smelly at the moment?
Smelly cat.
What are they doing with you?
Are they feeding you? No. So I've managed to catch, because I have like odd hours. Like this morning I was able to have a shower because no one had used the water yet.
Right.
So what's happening is low-lying areas. Firstly, this affects everywhere from just north of Soweto to Randburg.
Sure.
And it has been for over a week now. And it was due to an electricity problem where one of the pumps wasn't able to pump water into the reservoir. So now it's been fixed. However, to fill up this reservoir takes time. And what's happening is the low-lying areas are using up the water before it can feed the high-lying areas. And I, of course, am on the top of a hill. So that's where we are at the moment.
Iyo bangani iyo.
Leon, I really feel bad for you.
Why are you smiling, Sia? Why were you smiling?
Yeah, what are you laughing at, Sia, actually?
No, it is, I really feel bad for you. I'm not taking it lightly. But I'm listening to you sound so technical this morning. Yeah. You spoke about a ravine, a vortex. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about escarpment and low-lying areas. Now you just need a map behind you. You'll sound like the weather girl.
Yeah, I feel very geological today.
North of Soweto and the escarpment of the low-lying areas will come a downfall of water. Like, okay.
Rain expected in Limpopo.
Limpompo.
That's what I wanted to be, actually. The first choice career that I made was to be a weather announcer.
Yeah.
Really? What was cool about it to you?
I like maps and, you know, geography and climate.
I just thought it was cool how they manage the map behind them. Then I realized, it's
a green screen.
Figure out how these things work, and then it's not so impressive.
Well, there is other news. Let's just look at what the other headlines are for this morning. There's so much going on today. Civil Aviation Authority, you know who they are. They're the people who control, you know, who's allowed to fly and which planes fly where and what licenses are required and even drones, these guys have control over. So the CAA, the Civil Aviation Authority, is hoping to release an interim report looking into a light aircraft crash in KwaZulu-Natal somewhere in the next 30 days. Two people died in Saturday's accident. They were on their way to Umkomaas Airfield which is situated along the province's south coast. It's understood the crash took place moments after the takeoff in Hilton. Now, it's misty as hell in Hilton some of the time, so I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, there was an obstruction to them viewing because of mist and all the rest of it. So we shall have to see, but the CAA say they've already started their evidence collection, and they'll let us know as soon as they have more information. And then another story that you need to probably know about this morning, Chile has voted to rewrite their constitution. The people of Chile have voted overwhelmingly in support of rewriting their constitution, which dates back to the dictatorship of General Augusto Pinochet. 90% of the voters counted, and 78% of people had voted yes in a referendum that was called after mass protests against inequality. The president, Piñera, acknowledged the result and praised the peaceful vote. He said it was the beginning of a path that they would all walk together. Until now, the Constitution has divided us, the president said, as people took to the streets in celebration. From today, we must all work together so that the new Constitution is a great framework of unity, stability, and the future. So that's interesting stuff going on in Chile. I mean, 78% of people voted yes. That's more than two-thirds. That's pretty much, that's almost three-quarters, you know.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, so they've got to go ahead and get that done. And I mean, who wouldn't be in favor of a constitutional setup rather than a setup where the politicians can just do what they want any time? One of the few things that has saved us from complete depravity by the ANC is our constitution. So good luck to Chile as they go into a new phase of their development. And then finally, you probably don't know anything about this, but there's been an agreement that was reached after intense negotiations. The U.S. State Department said adding a truce would come into force early on Monday. That's between Armenia and Azerbaijan. They've agreed to a new ceasefire in a disputed territory, again, which I've never heard of, so maybe you haven't either, called Nagorno-Karabakh. Yes?
Okay.
Very important. Nagorno-Karabakh.
Do you know that's on the map, Leanne?
No, that one I don't have on my map.
And, of course, Donald Trump came out with a tweet, because this is how we find out about things now. Congratulations to Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan. I mean, someone must have spelt this for him. And Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev, who just agreed to adhere to a ceasefire effective at midnight. Many, many lives will be saved, so many lives. Proud of my team, Secretary Pompeo, and the rest of them for getting the deal done. Winning. But I mean, good.
No, did you really say winning?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. But, but good. Why wouldn't we want a ceasefire? So you know what? I know that people are loath to give Donald Trump and his administration any credit, but this is another major international relations coup. They've done this with the UAE and Israel. They've done this with North Korea. They've done this with the rest of the Middle East, who seem to be coming to the table now. I see Sudan have signed a historic peace with Israel. So there's stuff happening, man. And whether or not you like Donald Trump, it's a safer, more peaceful world is good for all of us, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, or if you don't give a shit. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, very, very good. Okay.
I heard a random Trump, well, I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but it's a rumor, I guess.
No.
Because you never really trust anything that's in an unauthorized biography. But a while ago, there was one that was released about the First Lady and the fact that she speaks Slovenian and Baron Trump knows how to speak that as well.
That's right.
And so do First Lady Melania's parents, who also live with them.
All right.
So the biography suggested that the four of them often whisper at each other and like gossip about the president without him knowing, because he doesn't understand the language. Well, an update to that I heard over the weekend, use it, don't use it, believe it, don't believe it, is the fact that the president has hired some secret service who know how to speak Slovenian.
Oh, my word. Have you seen as well, there is a photograph going around. There's a photograph going around that people are saying is not Melania. It's a double, it's a, what do you call it? A body double.
Is that the one in the helicopter.
Yeah, because she's the biggest reason is because they said, okay, they said a number of things. She looks younger. She has less Botox. But they also said she's smiling too widely. They've never seen her smile that widely.
Are these the same?
While she's with Donald Trump.
Are these the same people in the press who never commented a single time that Michelle Obama sometimes looks like a man? Are those the same people?
No, it's actually the public.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not the press.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That's great. Yeah. That's great. I mean, I always thought that those Vanity Fair pictures that Annie Leibovitz did of Michelle Obama were beautiful. I really did. I thought that they were gorgeous pictures. But there are some pictures of her online. And let me tell you, let's be fair. Melania is a model. So she, all her life, she's looked exquisite. She's a terrifically good-looking woman. By far the best-looking first lady. I know you were all thinking Barbara Bush, but honestly... Melania is way hotter than Barbara Bush. I know. I mean, there have been some tough contenders in the past, and Barbara is right up there. But there have been occasions where I've looked at pictures of Michelle Obama and thought she looks a little bit manly in that picture, which is not an insult. It's just to say that she was
not. How is it not an insult?
It's not an insult. I mean, Barbara Bush looked manly for a very different reason. I think Barbara Bush had a beard, didn't she? Oh, no, sorry. That was another memory.
Where are you getting all of this?
Let's just all calm down. Melania
Leanne,
Trump.
If someone called you a person who looks like a man,
yeah,
could that not be an insult to you?
Yeah, I'd probably want to cry a little bit.
Okay, well.
While stroking your beard.
Guys, Anushka says, Christmas crackers, chocolates, and decor is out in full blast in the shops. We already... booked our December holiday. We will not be here in Gauteng. We are going to Knysna. Second wave or no second wave. My family's life policies are paid up. We're ready to risk it all. Good for her. And then Ruth says something I think is very useful to remember, is that there are so many children in this country who still don't know how to swim. You know, there was that news story we talked about just a couple of minutes ago about these two kids who drowned in a river in Cliptown. They're really, it should be compulsory for people to teach their children to swim. Every responsible parent should make sure that their kid can swim before they turn six. Seriously, it's possible. I've seen it with my little nephews. You know, they went for swimming lessons. They know how to swim. So they would be able to get themselves out of more situations than the kids who have no idea. You know,
I'm just thinking when I grew up, both of my schools didn't have a swimming pool.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's a very expensive investment. And how many of these kids that go to these schools will have a place to learn to swim? Mm. They won't.
Yeah.
The only place they know that they can swim is in a dangerous dam or lake.
Yeah, you see, I think that's a big problem too. But you can go to these swimming classes and they're not all very expensive. And you can learn over a couple of weeks the basic stuff that you need to know if you get into trouble. I mean, I don't think these kids are – they're not drowning because they're in white water on the Orange River. You know, it's kind of – once it becomes higher than their knees, a lot of kids don't know how to deal with that. And again, I think it's dereliction of duty on the part of the parents. You've got a responsibility. Hey, I didn't have the kids. You had the kid. So now you must make sure that that kid is safe.
But we know how wide the spectrum is of people and quality of living in this country.
Sure.
So firstly, we still have schools that don't have enough desks for all of the kids in that classroom.
Yeah.
So I think a pool is quite low.
I don't know. I'm not making excuses for the parents.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that those parents are right or wrong because I don't know the details of the situation. But I will say that if you live near a river or your children are playing near a river – and you haven't taught them how to swim, you are being a bad parent.
And then I look at my niece in her school. Like, every time I feel like I chat to my niece, she's now involved in something new.
Yeah.
Like, with us, I went to a school where there was a pool, and we all did swimming together, and that was a thing for two terms. And then you did everything else together. But now, nowadays, you know, everyone has a right and you choose whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So some
yeah.
kids might want to swim and then someone else might want to do origami.
Yeah, and some people want to ride horses and some people want to want to play rugby or whatever it is that you want to do. But in the end, I do think it's kind of important that people know how to swim at some stage in their life. And especially, I remember my dad teaching me how to swim when we went to the sea for the first time. I mean, I was a little kid. And he told me, you got to look out for the tides. This is what happens. And there were some harrowing moments when I was a little kid because he was there with me. But you could feel yourself being pulled away by the current.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you're that little, you have to learn how to deal with that stuff. Otherwise, stay out of the sea. Those are your only two options. Anyway, this is an interesting message from Tracy. She says, when my boys went for swimming lessons, the mantra was, a child won't die because he can't play rugby or hockey, but he could die because he can't swim. Swimming is a life skill. And Tracy's agreeing with me at the same time. She says, Barbara Bush did look a little bit like Bea Arthur, and people always wondered whether Bea Arthur was a man.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm not the only one, Sia.
Have you seen little babies being taught how to swim?
Yeah.
It's both scary and also fascinating at the same time because there's this innate adaption to water that kids have. They instantly know that, okay, I'm submerged now. I need to hold my breath. And then they lift it up and then something clicks that, I can breathe again. But also forcing a baby underwater, it looks scary.
Yeah, it looks scary. And I mean, I don't profess to know anything about it, but I know what you mean. You see these little babies swimming underwater for some time and then coming up with smiles, or some of them don't even close their eyes.
Well, if you throw most animals in the water, they know what to do. They start swimming. So let's not pretend humans are the only ones who can learn how to swim. Animals learn how to swim too. So if they can do it, we could probably do it. I've just put up a poll to say, can you swim? And you can either answer yes or glug, glug, glug. Be honest. Tell the truth. Don't lie.
Oh, I'm glad you said that out loud because I read it as that old Cecil ad.
Yeah.
I'm a glug, glug.
So, you can call in to the show. And this is something we did the other day quite effectively. And we haven't asked people to do it. But if you want to do the poll, you can do that. But there's also this little button at the bottom called Speak. If you're watching the show live on cliffcentral.com via that link that we post on the main page. And if you hit on Speak there and you've got something to say, we can actually invite you into the conversation and we'll get to see you as well as hear you. And it could be fun. So if you've got something to say, you want to argue, you want to make us laugh, you want to make us think, you want to tell us a story, you know what to do. Hit that Speak button, or else you can message us on 0797482090.
Speak now.
Or forever hold your peace. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Apparently, this is interesting. So the Kardashians are of Armenian descent, and Kim apparently gave Donald Trump a call to say thank you.
Wow.
So, there we go.
They have each other on speed dial, I'm sure, after the whole prison thing.
Right. Apparently, Katlego Maboy's gown that he was wearing in the video is now known as the confession gown.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
And people are putting that gown on and confessing things to their partners.
The meme started, and then was a Katlego Maboy challenge the weekend.
Oh, my God.
South Africa doesn't deserve the internet.
No.
But then there was also...
No, but also, we've got a good sense of humor, let's be honest.
Then similar to that response to the Sandton Club being raided, there was Katlego Maboy must rise as opposed to Katlego Maboy must fall. So people also banding together to support him in this.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you something... I'll tell you something else that I've just been reminded. Francois just said, please remember, everybody, Sia admitted he shat his pants last week.
Come on. Was he wearing the confession gown when he said
yes, it? Yes, exactly. That's why. Oh, man.
I thought I was having a good day, which will lead to a good week. And then, well.
Yeah, I love it.
Shit happens.
All right, yeah, shit happens. That's very nice. Okay. So we can Oh, yes, guys. Please call in and Tubin us, says Anushka. You remember Tubin's the dude who worked for CNN who was on a Zoom call and he was masturbating. And everybody in the office saw. Sarah says, guys, I have a major problem. And maybe we can help Sarah with some advice here. We've got a little bit of time before the 7 o'clock. My neighbor screams during sex, and it's becoming unbearable. What do I do? I've texted her asking her to tone it down, but she blue-ticked me. What do I do now? She wakes up at odd hours. I'm beginning to hate her and dislike sex. Any advice, Leanne?
I would go knock on the door. Like literally go and interrupt the act by knocking on the door.
And what if...
It's just horrible.
Yeah, that's really... Because you're asking for trouble then. What if he, instead of she, comes to answer the door and you don't know who he is and he's like, hey, man, what the fuck? What do you do?
It's a difficult one.
It could get ugly.
But at the same time, she's also tried to reach out by sending her messages.
Yeah, she's... So.
Please
stop with the loud sex.
Is it really necessary to scream during sex? I've had all sorts of sex. Good sex, bad sex, mind-blowing sex. But do you have to scream? Have some consideration.
No.
Don't know what the person is going through. I say actually bring in a third party, bring in the body corporate or something. Can be an anonymous tip-off.
I don't know. It sounds to me like it's very rough in that neighborhood. I wouldn't know what to do. Mandy says, why don't you scream at the same time that she screams? Sarah says she does it at odd hours. Today she woke me up from 3:16 to 4:12 a.m. That's a long session, hey? Monwabisi says, call the police. Yes, be that petty. Tracy says, I'd say record her and WhatsApp it to her.
Yeah.
These are good ideas.
No, send it to her mother, not her. She'll like it. Send it to her mother.
I'd scream back
say... Befriend her mom and invite her over for tea and hope that...
Yeah.
The incident begins.
Right. Someone says, I'd scream back and say, dude, she's faking it. apparently this is in the UAE. Sarah's actually in the UAE. So this woman, if you call the police, she'll be jailed. Because...
Well, God.
Yeah. Wow. That makes it more interesting. You know, you live in a country where that stuff's probably illegal. Okay, the polls are closed. Here are the results. Can you swim? 85% of people said yes, and 15% said glug, glug, glug.
Wow. So,
15% of our audience will drown if we suddenly are submerged in a flood like Noah. Now you know.
Goodness, clearly there was so much that happened over the weekend. There's currently an investigation being done at Hardee's because a man supposedly just jumped into the dam.
Oh, yeah. Committed suicide?
There was no foul play.
Wow. That's man a hell of a thing 40s. To do, huh? What a thing to do. All right, we'll come back in a minute or two. We've got lots of other good stuff for you this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about Naomi Campbell. It's something that Sia and I never realized about her. We'll also talk about the dude in KZN. I know this is an old story, but we haven't brought it up yet, who planted banana trees in potholes just because he's had enough of the authorities there not fixing the potholes. And we can all feel that frustration, right? So if you want to get hold of us, 0797482090, cliffcentral.com. It is a Monday morning. Good morning to you.
CliffCentral.com.